Talk show.
It's on.
Now.
Well, good evening. My name is Tony Motoroy on XJTalk.com. This is Jeep Cherokee, XJTalk.com show. It's a live show that we do every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Central Time. Part of a value added to your Jeep Cherokee forum. Tonight we have Chris Burns, Big Jeep from XJTalk.com. And he'll be talking about his adventure in a Jeep rollover. And it's not a side-to-side roll. It's a nose with the tail over. What do you call that, a flip? So they actually, he and his buddy out examining a trail late at night, found the end of the trail and flipped the Jeep over. So... kind of an interesting tale. In fact, what we were going to do is have just a 10 or 15 minute conversation about it, and I was going to have that interview along with a main interview, but the interview ran a full 30 minutes, so we're just going to play the whole thing in its entirety. I think that you'll enjoy hearing about his adventure or misadventure. This segment is brought to you by Iron Man 4x4, the toughest, most adjustable control arms in the industry. Iron Man 4x4 has a wide variety of rugged off-road suspension products that are overbuilt and underpriced. Visit IronMan4x4Fab.com today. That's IronMan4x4Fab.com.
XJTalk.com.
XJTalk.com.
It's where you go when you're not off-road.
Hello, this is Kurt, a.k.a. Weldman from Wisconsin. If you're looking to get some great information or share what you know about your XJ, and you need to see some pictures of other XJs to get some great ideas or how-tos, this is the place. We come from all over the world, so you might even make a few great friends. You won't find a better group of people to chat with, and best of all, we don't judge you for your ride. So stock or super modified, you are always welcome here. So look no further, XJTalk.com. The place you need to be. So sign up, sign in, and have some fun.
This is Brian XJ, just calling in to tell you that we really like the website, full of a lot of tech and a lot of good people. I always get a response back quickly. Thanks, have a good day.
Are you interested in being a guest on XJ Talk? Well, you can contact me via email, tony@xjtalk.com. That's tony@xjtalk.com.
Aww.
Hey, how would you like to advertise on XJ Talk Talk Show and reach a worldwide Jeep audience? Just send an email to advertise@xjtalk.com for more information.
I just wanted to say XJ Talk is the best fucking site in the fucking world. And if you think you know of a better fucking site, fuck you. By the way, this is Big Jim 350. Bye.
Bye, Jim. Actually, I heard a few minutes ago that Big Jim isn't feeling very well. So, don't know if he'll be joining us tonight. I was actually kind of hoping to have him in on the tail end of the conversation after we played the interview. But Rainey informed me here in chat that he's been he's been feeling bad. Well, actually, let me play this one because I think Weldman's might be giving Big Jim a run for his money.
Hello, this is Kurt, a.k.a. Weldman from Wisconsin. If you're looking to get some great information or share what you know about your fucking XJ, and you need to see some fucking pictures of other XJs to get some ideas and how-tos, then this is the fucking place. We come from all over the fucking world, so you might even make a few great friends. You won't find a better group of fucking people to chat with. And best of all, we don't fucking judge you for your ride. So stock or super fucking modified, you always welcome here. So look no further. XJTalk.com is the fucking place you need to be. So sign up, sign in, and have some fucking fun.
I call that Edgy Weldman. Yeah, those new ones, by the way, are part of our contest, entries in our contest to give away the Performance Distributors Firewire 4.0 kit. It is a something like a 1800 degree temperature resistant plug wires, real nice plug wires, rotor cap, a high voltage transformer. Is that right? Transformer and rotor cap. Basically go on a 1991 through 1999, I believe, 4.0 liter Jeep engine. About a $180 value kit. It was additional parts that they sent me while I was trying to debug why it wasn't working on my Jeep. And they were good enough to let me keep that so I could do a giveaway. And I thought it was very nice of them not only to send me all those parts, but also to let me keep them. Because, you know, basically I got two kits out of the deal. And since I was getting all those extra parts, I thought that I would try to share that with some of you guys. It's been a while since since I first got these and I was going to do the contest, between when I had the stuff, came up with the idea, and finally came up with an idea for the contest. But the thought was to get some promos and some questions sent in to our voicemail number, and that way we'd have some stuff to play on the show, because just begging you guys wasn't enough to get you to do it. Well, I take that back. Some were willing to do that, but it did require some begging.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you about XJTalk.com. It's a great site. There's no bashing. Everybody's nice and friendly. Great place to be.
So if you would like to call in and leave a question for the show, or if you would like to call in and just say what you think about XJ Talk or even the XJTalk.com show, you can call 530-675-4102. 530-675-4102. It's voicemail only. You don't have to worry about talking to somebody. You just call, leave your voicemail. If you would, say what your name is, where you're located, and then ask your question or make your comment about XJ Talk. So, as I mentioned in the opening, tonight's show is going to be an interview that I did last week with Chris Burns. He goes by Big Jeep on XJTalk.com. He's a recent new member, recently joined a new member, and shortly after he joined, we were sitting in chat one night, and he came up and said, "Hey, flip the Jeep and need some help." So we tried to help him as best we could. Unfortunately, he was in the area he was in, and everybody that was in North Houston was not available. But the following night, Argonard Rini, moderator and XJ Talk member, and Big Jim 350, also a moderator and XJ Talk member, both went out with Chris, and I think the driver's name was driver and owner's name is Mikey. I believe they all went out there and they managed to extract the flipped Jeep and get it taken out to the road. They didn't try starting it that night, but you'll hear about that in the interview. So without further ado, let's get the interview going with Chris, Big Jeep, Big Jeep. Well, we've got Chris, Big Jeep, Big Jeep, one of the two members in the Jeep that recently flipped, and Rini and Big Jim went out to rescue the next day. Chris, you still with us?
I am.
Well, Chris, you had quite an adventure here. What was that? Was that Monday night?
Is it a Monday night or Tuesday night? I think it might have been Tuesday night.
Did you hit your head when you flipped?
No, I suspended myself in my seatbelt upside down, so I managed to not.
That's right. The driver, because you were actually the passenger, the driver didn't have his seatbelt on, did he?
No, he ended up in the back seat, the back hatch area, right, actually.
He wasn't trying to leave you behind, was he?
I guess, I don't know. I had to ask him that. I thought maybe he took a head jump out of it when we started to roll, and I just missed the memo. So
the driver's name is it Mike?
It's he goes by Mikey.
Mikey?
His name is Michael, but he's Mikey.
Because he joined yesterday, I believe, maybe it was today. He joined the XJTalk.com site. And,
yeah, he called me.
I think that was payment for two of the XJTalk members coming out there and getting his Jeep out, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. So
I think everybody would be curious, what happened? I mean, you know, to go nose over tail or tail over nose like that must have been a hell of an adventure.
Yeah, it was exciting to say the least. We were just driving down this new trail that someone on Cherokee Forum had told us about.
Those bastards.
We didn't know exactly what to expect. You know, he told us it was just a very moderate, basic trail. You know, it's when he started to branch off was whenever it got kind of hairy. So I told him, hey, let's just go out and check out this basic trail so we can find out, you know, what there is to offer out there. We had no idea what to expect. We weren't trying to go wheeling or anything. We just wanted to look. And we're just driving around, and we were actually talking about sway bar disconnects because I want to put some on my Jeep so that I can, unhook my sway bars when we're off-roading. And next thing I know, I'm upside down in a ravine. It turns out we just kind of came around a corner and just kind of slid in the dirt a little bit, and the front passenger tire dropped off, and you know, here comes the back end over us. So it came as complete surprise. It was very unexpected. And to be honest, I didn't even know that we were riding alongside a cliff that goes down into the water. That's how much attention I was paying.
Well, I know you got on chat about 10:30 or so. About what time did the accident happen?
Probably about 8:15-ish. So
it was dark. It was pitch dark out there.
Yeah, it was definitely dark. It was definitely dark, and you know, he had four helis on the roof and his two regular lights, and because the part right before where we fell kind of goes into a tree cover. There's a lot of trees right there. It's kind of like a wooded area, and whenever you come out of that, it's like right after that, as you come around a right curve, that's whenever that drop off was. So you know, there was absolutely no external light whatsoever for us because we were under trees. So
sure.
When we came around that corner, you know, it was just there.
It was a perfect setup for you guys to go tail over nose. Now,
right.
How far a drop was that? It's hard to tell from the pictures, but it looks like it's at least 3, 4, 5 feet.
Yeah, you know, I think, it varies. A little farther in, it's only a couple of feet, but I think where the back end was when it started to go over was probably a good 6 or 7 feet.
My goodness.
Because it gets pretty deep. Like, you can't... at that point right there, it's not where you could physically step down into the hole. You had to, you know, slide down on your butt or go over to the other side and drop down. So, you know, it was pretty deep at that point. And the front end was higher than the back end was whenever we landed, which was good because all the gas managed to spill downhill and not uphill towards the motor.
Oh, that is good.
You know, that was kind of a scary part when we first flipped. I made sure all my limbs moved, and I made sure he was okay, and I told him, hey, we got to get out because, you know, I smell gas. So, and I didn't know where the gas was going, so, you know, my first intuition was to run. So, you know, I got out, and I managed to pull him out through the passenger side because the driver's side was caught up against the side edge. And we crawled up to the top where the trail was and just kind of evaluated our lives.
Sure. And neither one of you guys was injured, right?
No. I was perfectly fine. He got a small little scuff on his arm that he didn't even notice until, you know, after we were back at my house, actually. So, you know, he actually took more damage whenever Rennie and Jim came and rescued us from the windshield where it was broken. So... he got a little bite on his knuckle from that, but That's the only damage he took from the whole ordeal.
Excellent. I mean, it's all fun and games to laugh about this, but I knew ahead of time, at least I thought I knew, that there was no injuries, and I just wanted to make sure the audience knew that.
Yeah. Everything seemed to be okay.
So luckily,
not even sore.
Right. So, that is good. So Mikey is not planning on ditching this XJ. He's going to get it going and do something to it and keep using it, right?
Yeah. We're weighing a whole bunch of options right now. We're talking about getting a shell to swap all his stuff into, or, you know, a bad motor Jeep, because that was actually a new motor that he just purchased. Or he's talking about cutting it and caging it and buying himself a daily driver and just using that as his toy. There's a number of things, but there's no way he would ever get rid of it. That Jeep has more emotional value than I've ever seen anyone have in one of their vehicles.
Oh, I love my Jeep. That's one of the reasons why I ask. I just hate the idea that, you know, another one dies. There's 3 million of them, but I still don't like to see them die.
Exactly. Yeah, I love to pull parts of them from the junkyard, but sometimes I feel kind of bad.
Exactly. So, they're wonderful vehicles.
Yeah.
Well, Chris was
there. It was 2 years in the running that he's been working on that thing. He's been through hell and back with it. New TKs. You know, when his first test drive, it ran okay, and then he drove it home, and it turned out the TKs was stuck in forward low. So he spun the rear drive shaft, cracked the transfer case housing, busted his transmission up. So he managed to hunt down another 242 and put that in. And then he found out that he had horrible blow by on his piston ring. So he bought a new motor and put it in, and then turns out he bought the wrong year 242. He bought the 23 spline instead of the 21 spline, so he blew another pump seal. I had to replace that and put another T case in. So he's been through everything with that Jeep. So,
wow.
And that Jeep was running for probably 5 days whenever we flipped it after 2 years of work. So
has he started it back up yet?
Say it again.
Has he started the engine back up yet?
No, I don't think he has. If he has, he hadn't told me yet. I talked to him earlier today, and he said it's still sitting where it was when they dropped it off. So, as far as I know, he hasn't. The main deal right now is he's trying to clean out his garage so he can shove it in there, because he doesn't want his homeowners association to come down on him for it.
Yeah, they get really persnickety about that kind of stuff.
Especially a roll Jeep.
So yesterday, I guess it was yesterday, the day after the rolling is whenever Rini Argonard and Big Jim 350 went out there, I believe with you, and I would assume Mikey, I think you said Mikey was out there, to actually recover the Jeep. And when it was recovered, it was actually recovered the reverse of the way it went in, which was tail over nose. And I was really surprised how easily that thing came out. Let me ask you this. Have you learned anything about going just two people in a Jeep at night?
I've always known the rule to always have someone else with you in another vehicle.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know why. We just didn't think it applied here, because we weren't going wheeling. Our plan was, hey, we're not going to go through any mud, we're not going to do anything, we're just going to drive on a regular trail. And, you know, of course, the one time that we do it wrong, something wrong happens.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I'm not trying to make you feel small because you did it. I'm just trying to use it as a learning tool for everybody else.
Sure.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen when you least expect it to happen.
Exactly. And, you know, it's always good to have someone else in another vehicle with you, because, you know, the rollover could have easily been a whole lot worse. And one of us could have been hurt, or both of us, you know, and my wife didn't know exactly where the trail was. We didn't even know where the trail was when we went to it. So, you know, if we were hurt, we would have been stuck out there. No one had ever known. So.
Yeah, how did you guys get back, by the way?
After we crawled out, I called my wife to come and pick us up, and she brought us to the house. And that's, you know, whenever I got on the XJ Talk and posted up that it had happened and whatnot, I started talking to Jim about it.
Oh, I thought you were actually on your phone. I thought you were still out there. That makes more sense to me.
No. I had gone home by that point. You know, after we determined that the gas was going downhill, we went ahead and I actually had to crawl back in the Jeep to find my phone. It had slid under the headliner, and I couldn't find it. I was sitting there calling. It was his phone, and I found it. And he has all his tools in the back and some other important stuff that he had. So I had to kick most of it out, all the important stuff that we didn't want to get stolen overnight, just in case.
Yeah, this is amazing, though. I just wanted to say, well, you lost your cell phone. I mean, this is like one of those OnStar commercials where the guy says, okay, you're in an accident. You lost your cell phone because they're trying to sell that. They're trying to sell the OnStar feature, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, give me a break. Like, I'm going to lose my cell phone.
Yeah, exactly, you know. Let me push my little blue button on the rearview mirror after I've rolled over.
Well,
you've been in an accident.
Well, you're not going to believe this.
Yeah.
Well, the
Jim had called Milstead Towing for us to find out how much it would be to pull out in case they weren't able to come out, and they wanted $950 to come out and recover the Jeep.
Just set it on fire and take you some marshmallows. Good God!
Exactly. That's what I told Mikey. I said, "Look, we'll pull your lift upside down. We'll pull your rims and tires. We'll pull your T-case drop. You know, all the important stuff, and then we'll just get
it on
fire."
It's all right there. It won't be hard to get to.
You know, we'll kumbaya for a while for getting $950.
My God. Yeah. How in the world? I mean, obviously, they didn't want to come do it.
Obviously, yeah. I mean, they heard Flip Jeep in a ravine down a dark trail. They said, oh, yeah, we'll do it for...
This is a setup.
your kidney, we'll probably take part of your liver while we're at it.
I wonder how many times they've been out on calls like that, and they come back with missing time and their underwear on backwards.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Hey, well, that might be a good business to start. I'll get an XJ and put winches front and rear and lift it and write recovery record on the side of it. See if anybody calls me.
Oh, man. Yeah. Hell, you know, for $450.
I won't charge $950.
I would have gone out there for $450.
Yeah, really? Hell, yeah.
Half price, man.
I know Rini's thinking that, too, you know. His winch got a little hot while we were out there and wasn't working by the end of the night. We had to wrap it around the front bumper and so he could go home. And I haven't talked to him since, but I talked to him yesterday briefly and he hadn't checked it. But hopefully it fixed itself from being hot.
Well, actually, he's ordered another solenoid because I think he thinks that the contacts were cooked. So
okay, well, it should have been covered under warranty, huh? I think those are lifetime warranty winches, aren't they?
Could be. I don't know. But, boy, it sure did.
I don't know.
That cheap Chinese-made winch really did a good job.
Yeah, a phenomenal job. So, you know, at first, you know, we tried pulling it from the front bumper, and it kind of worked. You know, it was a little iffy. Pretty much it was just causing the winch to get hot and just didn't want to move. So that's when we said, hey, let's just strap it up to the rear bumper, see what happens.
I was really surprised that worked. That worked like it was meant to work that way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was very surprised. Wes was also there in his Jeep. He had a CJ7 that was there, and he went and grabbed a tree saver out of the back of his Jeep because he didn't bring his Jeep all the way down because we never even used it. But we grabbed that, and he wrapped it up around the back hitch on it, and we hooked up the winch and just started hitting. You know, and about time the Jeep was standing straight up on its nose, the winch wasn't even working anymore. I mean, it was pretty much easy. You could just hit the button and it was just, you know, and sucking the Jeep down. So it was pretty nice. And then once we got the back tires up on the trail, it was just a matter of putting it in park, adjusting the winch, putting it in neutral, pulling it, putting it in park, you know, back and forth until we got it. We almost rolled it over on its side whenever we were pulling out the first time. We had to unhook the winch and wrap it around the other side of the Jeep and pull it out. So, but it all worked out a lot easier than we expected. So,
yeah, that's a great adventure, especially since nobody was hurt.
Exactly. You know, that's the nice thing. No one was hurt, and you know, these people that had never met me, never met Mikey, you know, didn't know anything about us other than, you know, seeing my name on the forum, you know, were willing to go out of their way on Wednesday night and come out and help us. You know, we need more people like that in the world, I think, because, you know, that's just something that people should do for each other, and I really appreciate those guys coming out and helping Mikey out. You know, getting him fixed up so he can get his Jeep back home to start working on it.
Yep, and Rini's that way. In fact, what we recently did today, actually, was start up a XJ Talk Help email, not an account, but a mailing list, so that whenever you get into a situation, you can send an email to the mailing list, and somebody will, you know, give you a call and at least talk to you and maybe offer you
help
some
you out.
Yeah, offer you some well, you can do this, or I can call a wrecker for you. It's not, I'm going to come out there and help you.
Sure.
That could occur, but that's not the main idea. It just feels a little better when you're having a problem to be able to talk to somebody and bounce off them. Hey, this is what happened. I think I can fix it this way. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, absolutely. I mean, a second idea never hurts. So.
Exactly. I went through it when my harmonic balancer came apart on me on the way home, and the person I called was Rini and spoke with him. So sure. that's where the idea came from. Yeah, Rini's a really good person, willing to go out of his way to help, and we're very lucky to have him on the site and as a moderator.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Chris, was there anything else that you could think of that you'd like to cover?
Yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up. You know, that's pretty much our rollover. It was very, very exciting, to say the least. You know, I'd never been in a rollover before. I've been in 6 wrecks. Bless my soul, I'm still alive, and I've never been hurt, actually. So, knock on wood. But that was a first for me. So, I went home, and I kissed my wife and kissed my 2-month-old and said, I'm sorry.
Oh, congratulations. Boy or girl?
So, it's a girl. I have a little girl. So she was born on December 22nd.
Oh, poor thing. Are you going to do the two? Yeah. You going to do the two presents? Or are you going to say, "Here's your one present"? Deal with it.
You know, we'll probably end up doing the two thing. We'll probably have her birthday parties a little early or something. But you know, I was joking with my wife before, and I told her, I said, "Well, you know, they're so close to each other now they negate each other. So she doesn't get anything. Just you know, they cancel each other out." That didn't go over too well, so I think she's just going to get double, which is fine for me.
My father-in-law is actually born on Christmas Day, and
wow.
Being of Latin descent, his name is Jesus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. So anytime anybody from his house calls over here and I look at the caller ID, I'll scream at my wife, Jesus is calling.
That's funny.
usually gets a laugh around here. I was going to ask you too. How did you just became an XJ Talk member maybe a week before this happened? How did you find out about XJ Talk?
I was on Cherokee Forum, and because I actually just got into Jeeps recently, been a Samurai guy for many years. But anyway, I was on Cherokee Forum and talking about my first experience at Creekside, which is the reason why my Jeep is down now because I broke it while I was there. And someone posted on Cherokee Forum said, hey, you should check out this website, XJ Talk. They're talking about going to Creekside for Muddy Girl this weekend. And I said, okay, I'll check it out because I never, I didn't know anything about XJ Talk because Mikey's actually the one that told me about Cherokee Forum. So I, headed over and I saw that it was quite a few people from Houston. I said, well, so this is, run locally. So I, signed up thinking, hey, cool, there's going to be more locals on this site than there is on the other one. So that's kind of where I came from.
Yep, it is cool, the local aspect of it. That's not the way it started out. And, of course, we are a nationwide, worldwide site. But yeah, we have been lucky to get several locals on. And we were doing some Jeep meet and greets monthly, but for 2 months in a row, only the same 3 people showed up, which was me, Big Jim, and Scott, XJ4IV. So we stopped doing that. And actually, the mosquitoes that were biting us kind of helped that situation a little bit. But
yeah, I can imagine.
We may start doing those again, especially as we get more Houston area members.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'd always be interested to go. I'm part of several car clubs around town, so I can always fit one more into my schedule.
Excellent.
So,
well, Chris, thank you very much. I'm really glad you and Mikey weren't hurt, and I hope to see more about the injured Jeep on the site, whether its parts are recovered from it or if it's just redone it so it can live again, at least on the trails.
Yeah, we will keep it updated to let everybody know what's going on. So it's going to be interesting, no matter which way it goes. So I'm excited to see the results also. I'm sure he is. He's been working on it so long.
I know. That's such a shame.
Yeah, and the really bad thing is a brand-new set of Rough Country 3-inch leaf springs came in the mail today for it. So...
Hey, better this,
a little bit.
I don't think the leaf springs would have been damaged, but... better now than before, especially 30 minutes before, and he takes it out there and rolls it and has to take them back off.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and he had just put on a TK strap the night before, and he was like, crap, I just rolled my Jeep and just put that on. I'll do the suspension, the driveline, everything's going to be okay. Body damage, that's all it is. It's pretty obvious that it is. That's all it is. You know, he should easily be able to swap everything over to another Jeep or fix the one he has. You know, either way. But
from the pictures that I saw, it actually looked a lot better than I expected. That roof wasn't pushed in as far as what I thought it would be.
Yeah, we were pretty surprised also. You know, and you know, the worst part is the middle and the front and in the and the back hatch area.
Yeah, I saw the hatch. That fiberless hatch is gone.
Yeah, you know, the driver and passenger mirrors, I think, both survived. And one of the rear windows survived until we winched it, and then one of the winch line pressured down on it and broke it. But the sunroof is still alive on it. Three of the Hellas managed to survive, and they were upside down under it, which was really cool.
Wow.
So I was very, very surprised about that. He had 3 out of 4 managed to live. And surprisingly, the back hatch glass popped out and was uncracked underneath the Jeep whenever it was rolled. And it didn't break until we pulled the Jeep with the winch and the top of the roof came across it and broke it. So that was very interesting. I couldn't believe that the back hatch glass was that strong to pop out and land on the ground and not break.
So I guess you guys weren't aware of it, or it was just too dangerous to try to grab?
Say that one more time.
So I guess you guys were not aware that it was unbroken under the Jeep, or it was just too dangerous to grab out of there?
Where it was laying, you could see it, like, the roof is bowed a bit in the back, right behind the, you know, right above where the cargo area would be, and that's where the glass was underneath it.
Oh, wow, so it was actually under the Jeep.
So, yeah, it was actually, it was physically under the Jeep, and we had his light out there, and we were looking over it, and I could look under the Jeep, and I could see the glass laying there, and it wasn't cracked or anything.
That's amazing.
I was very surprised. I said, hey, man, you might be able to fix this after all,
Boom.
And you know, he was kind of, you know, he wasn't too happy, so, and he still isn't, but, you know, life happens, and, you know, it's just a stepping stone he's got to get over. It just wasn't meant to be for this one, I guess. So, but it will live again in that body or another.
Yeah, I can always cut the top and put a cage on it. That would look pretty cool. No doors, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's I think that's where he's leaning towards the most right now, but he has been hunting Craigslist for a shell. So if anybody, anywhere pretty much, within the next couple of states around Texas, if anybody knows where a shell is, please send me a message on XJ Talk, because we will come get it.
And Chris's name on XJ Talk is Big Jeep, Big Jeep. It was too big just to say it once. Oh, yeah. How did you come up with that name?
that name originated. We have another friend of ours that actually, he got us into Jeeps. He has a TJ Wrangler. But a few years back, when we were 18, I'm 21 now, he's 22, but when we were 18, we were driving around Houston in my Pontiac Fiero. I had a lowered Pontiac Fiero. We were looking for a club to go to that was 18 and up, not 21 and up, because we wanted to go out. You know, we were, you know, living life. And we ended up running out of gas on Shepherd at about 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And the Fiero, I had no idea, just stopped in the middle of the street. Well, there was a Citgo gas station all the way down the road. And I said, okay, we'll just push the Fiero all the way down to the end of the road. So we start pushing and pushing and pushing, and the light turns green behind us, and it turns around, and there's this giant Wrangler barreling down the road right in the same lane we're in. I mean, it's like on 44s, 12-inch lift. I mean, it was huge. And I just hear my friend screaming, Big Jeep, Big Jeep, Big Jeep. And I turn around, and there's this giant Wrangler barreling down the road at us. And I was like, ah! So I took off running, and he was still pushing the Fiero, and luckily the Fiero rolled into a driveway of some business. I think it was like a GameStop or something. And we stopped and caught our breath for a while, and it was kind of, so now we look back, and it's just kind of amusing. We look back on that as kind of a joke, especially now that we're all, you know, Jeep enthusiasts, and the guy in that Wrangler is probably thinking, oh, this guy in his little crappy sports car, I'm going to run him over with my big Jeep, and now I have a 4.5-inch lifted Cherokee. So I'm kind of in the same boat he is.
That's great. That's a great story.
So, you know, it was funny, and it just kind of stuck with us. So, you know, I couldn't think of anything when I was trying to make a name on the forums, and I started thinking, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to make my name Big Jeep, Big Jeep.
I tell you what, it was nice that your friend stuck with your car, and you ran and left him there, though.
Well, no, he didn't. I took off running, and he let go, and took off the same way I did, and the car just kind of rolled and stopped.
Because that's not how I heard the story. I heard the story that you ran, and he kept pushing.
No. He gave it. I guess he probably gave it one last shove, and he took off too. Because Furos are so small as it is, and it was lowered either 3 or 4 inches, so it was pretty small. And when you see this giant Wrangler that could probably run us over at 80 miles an hour and think he ran over a rock, we're gonna move.
Yeah.
So, not gonna stick around.
No. Well, that's a great story. Chris, I want to thank you a lot for taking the time to be on the show, and hope you'll join us next Wednesday when we play this. So
yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
Every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Central Time.
Cool. Yeah, I listened to the last one, so I will be around for the next one.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right. Appreciate it.
It's an XJ Talk live phone call. Hello, Rini. Are you there? Wayne says, just putting on his Crocs. You know, Crocs sound like something from Australia or New Zealand. You want to try calling me back?
Yeah, let me call you right back.
Okay.
Bye.
So that was our interview with Chris Burns. He was a great guy for volunteering to be on the show, and really appreciated him making himself available like that, especially on short notice. So thanks a lot, Chris. If you're one of the guests there listening, thank you. Let's see if we can get Rini back on here. Well, let's just go with this. We can work through it. At least it's fine on my side. There's a little hiss, but I got rid of most of it with some of the equipment here. So it was a pretty challenging pull, I would expect or suspect.
It was a little challenging. It wasn't super bad. We kind of tried one thing first. We tried to pull it up by its front bumper, and that wasn't going to happen. It just couldn't get over that hump. So then we kind of all scratched our heads, drank a beer, and said, you know, let's try to flip it over back on its wheels, nose over end, and it worked perfect. I mean, it actually did it no problem.
Yeah, the reverse of how it went over. You just reversed that process coming back out.
Yeah, pretty much.
I guess that would be a natural progression of trying it, but it would not have been my first thought. You know, like what you guys did, hook to the rear bumper and try to pull it up and then roll it over or something.
But yeah, what we did is we just hooked up to it and thought, you know, let's try it. And what he was saying about when we flipped it over, or the winch cable busted the window out, that's not true. I actually, as I was pulling it up, the vehicle fell over to the side and shattered the window as it fell into the cliff. And it just went all the way, you know, it came up and over. And so that's, you know, like I told them, when I went after this thing, I told these guys right up from the beginning, I said, look, man, I am not taking any responsibility for any damage done to this vehicle. We're not even sure we're going to be able to get it on its wheels again.
Well, that's a really good point, too, because any of you guys, when you're helping somebody out, you need to make sure that it's clearly understood. And truth be told, you probably ought to have them sign something, or at least pull out your telephone, turn on the video recording part of it, ask them the question, and have them respond to it. Because you and I might not hold somebody responsible for damage that they did to your vehicle because you gave them the verbal okay, but you don't know that individual well enough to know what they'll do. So it's a good idea to protect yourself, guys.
Definitely good idea to do that, because you just never know what they're going to say or do. You know, in this case, we were pretty lucky, and, you know, the guys didn't really do anything. I mean, we got it over, got it back on. It's all fours up on the main trail, and we pulled it out of there with another Jeep and got it back to somewhere to get a wrecker to it. And, you know, that's all we could do.
Yeah. Well, it was a great thing, and just like we said in the interview, it was great for you and Big Jim to go out there and go through all that. That was a 2 or 3 hour process, wasn't it?
Yeah, about 3 hours. We got there about 6:30, and no, it was about 6 o'clock, and I got home about 9:30, and he's about 30 minutes from me. So yeah, it was about 3 hours to do it.
That's a long night.
Yeah, but it looked like it was. I mean, when we were first talking about it, was we were going to pull the Jeep down into the creek and flip it over in the creek, and then get it out that way. And I think if we'd have tried that, we'd have been hours and hours and hours.
It looked like to me it worked out really well from the pictures and the descriptions that I heard. It sounded like that was the right way to do it.
Yeah. You know, nobody knew it was going to be the right way, but it was. It was really funny, as over the weekend, I had another rollover recovery that we went and did. And there's actually some videos up on XJ Talk and on Facebook with my had a little Samurai that went over on its side, and we actually pulled it back up over the weekend. So I'd never done a rollover recovery, and then I do two in 1 week. So that was pretty cool.
That is cool. So what was the story on the Samurai?
Drunk.
Off-road or rollover?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
Off-road.
Did you preach to him? I would have preached to him.
No. It's one of them things where it was the second time he rolled with the weekend, and, you know, what do you say to somebody like that?
Wow. No, I would have just done it for meanness and, for my own personal pleasure.
Yeah, it wasn't worth it. We just went ahead and did it.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and let you run. We're having some audio difficulties with the equipment there. I'm not sure. If we had planned it, we probably would have had a little bit better opportunity to test things out and get things going. So, sorry, guys. It was kind of an impromptu phone call to Rini. It worked out well the other night after the last Wednesday, whenever Rini was coming back from pulling this Jeep out. So, Rini, I'll go ahead and let you go. Thanks for being on the show on such short notice. And have a good night.
You too. Talk to y'all later.
Okie dokie. So that's that. I think that we've covered the Jeep rollover pretty well, and everybody was fine. I hope that we'll be seeing some more of the rolled Cherokee. Hopefully, it's resurrection and not something that gets trashed. I would hope they'll just cage it, or maybe repair what they have, take the windshield out, use it off road. It was my understanding that it was an off road vehicle to begin with, off road only vehicle to begin with. At least that's what Chris said in the interview. So I got the Skype thing going. If somebody would like to call in and be on the show, got something you'd like to say, something you'd like to talk about. Okay. Well, it looks like I'll call Big Jeep. Big Jeep. What is his, did he give you the number, Paul? I have it somewhere, but I don't have it handy. Thanks. Paul's going to ask, he's probably talking to Chris on the website. Let me see. Yeah, he is. Okay. I see the number in chat, Paul. I'm just going to give him a call. Okay, guys, hopefully I dialed the right number, and I'm talking to Chris or Mikey.
It's Chris.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for being on the show. I was going to try to get you on earlier, but I think I missed you on the XJ Talk chat.
Yeah, I signed up, and for some reason it won't let me talk. So I've been trying to talk to people through the XJ Talk regular chat to see if anybody noticed, and then someone noticed me, and said, hey, call.
Yeah, well, that's the cool thing about using the xjtalk.com/ustream.php, because you have the XJ Talk chat and you've got the Ustream chat all on the same page, and you can, you know, talk on both chats.
Exactly.
And by the way, you're going to hear a bit of a delay between what you're hearing on the phone, because that's going to be instant, and if you're hearing on a PC or a smartphone or something, the show is going to be delayed.
Yeah, so. It's driving me nuts right now. I had to change rooms because I can hear it.
Yeah, it will throw you for a loop, because I think that's what people that stutter hear all the time.
Right. Yeah, because Mikey's trying to listen in at the same time, because he's over here, because I told him that we were going to be talking about his Jeep, so he came over to listen in, and I started talking, and then he just kind of looked at me because he didn't hear anything, and all of a sudden it came up, so.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of delay because of the internet and all the buffering and so on and so forth. So, I don't know if you would like to give an update on the on what's going on with the rolled Jeep, or if you'd like for Mikey to do that.
You know, actually, I think, you know, I haven't really asked him what he's doing yet, so if you want, I can put him on, and he can, you know, explain to everybody exactly what he's got going on with it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So, one thing I wanted to say to Rini, we're not mad about the window. That was, I guess I just remembered it wrong. You know, it's just a window. No one cares. So we were going to cut it out anyway. So I didn't want him to think that I was mad that he busted a window. But when he didn't, you know, I just wanted to clear the air there.
Yeah, not speaking for Rini, but I don't think he was. I think his only concern was that about the responsibility aspect of it. And,
absolutely. And you know, he could all the windows could have been good, and he could have accidentally crushed them all, you know, if he had, and we probably would have just laughed at it. So, you know, it's no big deal, because, you know, the roof's caved in, so it's all coming off anyway.
Right. So. And you know, what I would be curious about is if you guys had opted for the, or if Mikey had opted for the $950 wrecker to come out there and pull you out, what their coverage would have been.
You know, that's a good question. You know, I'm not sure about that. So,
you know, would they have said if you break a window, we'll pay for it? I mean, you know, $950, they could have bought a couple of Jeeps.
Yeah, my Jeep was stuck on the trail, and you rolled it down this hill. Now you owe me a Jeep.
Yeah,
you have no proof.
That was a bit of a surprise to several people in the chat room. Whenever you said $950, they were like, dollars?
Yes. Yeah, I've been reading and watching at the same time. I mean, listening at the same time. I just could never type for some reason. I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to give the phone to Mikey so he can, you know, tell you guys what the plan is.
Okay. All
right, here you go. I just could never type for some reason. Hello?
Hey, Mikey. My name's Tony Motoroy on xjtalk.com, and we've been having... I don't want to say quite a bit of fun, but learning experience and talking a lot about your misfortune with your Jeep.
Yeah, it's definitely been a learning experience.
So, has it been long enough for you to come up with a plan of what you're going to do with the Jeep?
As far as plan, my main concern was getting another daily driver, because that Jeep. It was my daily driver. And I was fortunate enough to get a truck recently that I haven't been able to pick up just yet. But that kind of freed up the possibilities of what I can do with my Jeep.
Okay, well, because I misunderstood. I had been told on the Chris had told me on the interview that it was an off-road only vehicle. So I didn't. It was tragic, but nobody was hurt. And off-road only, that's not such a bad deal. Because, you know, if it's down, it's sad, but, you know, you can do stuff to it and get it back on the trail. Daily driver, that's a whole nother thing. I mean, to be without a vehicle because it got flipped, that's pretty serious. Now, have you started the vehicle yet since it's been recovered and brought back home?
Since then, I haven't really had a chance to work on it yet. I had to go back to work. I'm getting some time this weekend, so I'm probably going to end up trying to get it, see if it'll start again, work on it again.
Well, no problem. I'm not trying to rush you. Just curious, because I don't have any, thankfully, I don't have any experience with a rolled Jeep Cherokee.
Yeah, it was probably the fastest and slowest 3 seconds of my life. It felt like it was slow motion as I was falling into it, and just, but then again, it just happened so fast. Definitely, I did not think I was going to be upside down in a ravine whenever I woke up that morning.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, like I said, it was good though that the only loss was, and truthfully, it's only a partial loss. You could probably still drive it, although you'd probably get pulled over and say, "Son, what the hell are you driving on my street?" But I hope that you'll post up on XJ Talk about your continuing adventures with this. And I'm still surprised it looks as good as it does, because they don't usually look so hot whenever they're rolled like that.
Yeah, I was kind of worried as we left it there overnight, and I was just thinking the entire night, what does it look like whenever I turned it over?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking right now it's probably just going to, Like Chris was saying, I'm probably more leaning to chopping off the top right now. I'm just kind of weighing my options on like building a cage and stuff like that.
Well, that would be pretty cool, and certainly with a new engine and all the work that you've already done on it, I don't think you'd need to redo any of that. You would just need to make sure that you had enough bracing to keep the body from twisting on you. Because my understanding is the roof is an integral part of the overall body. It's, you know, especially since it's a unibody.
Yeah, definitely. My original plans for the Jeep is I bought it to daily drive it and stuff like that, but whenever as the years progressed, my plans were to turn it into like a rock, kind of like a rock crawler. I was going to put a full exo cage and everything, because I always, in the back of my mind, I always planned or thought that a rollover was possible. So I guess it just happened a little early.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's good. The timetable is being moved up, but at least that was in the plans anyway. And I sure am glad you got another vehicle lined up. Hey, Mikey, thanks a lot for being on the show. We're running out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and let you run. And thank you again for being there. And also, too, for both of you, Chris, and also Rini and Big Jim for sharing all this this misadventure and really good information for everybody to know.
Yeah. Again, I just want to thank Rini and Jim and Wes and of course, Chris for coming out and helping me get it back over and stuff like that.
I bet you were happy Chris was there, because that's something you'd like to share with somebody.
Yeah.
If nothing else, it'll be a great story for years. All right, Mikey.
Oh, yes, definitely.
All right, Mikey. Thanks a lot. Have a good night. Well, I know how bad it was for me just denting the lower rocker panel on my rig out there at Creekside. I can only imagine what Mikey must feel with something that was a daily driver, which I didn't understand that it was a daily driver. That's a little devastating, especially for a young man that probably doesn't have the bank account to be able to quickly replace that daily driver. I mean, it's been week and a half, 2 weeks, and that was his daily driver, and he's got a, I think he said he's got a line on another truck, and but he hasn't picked it up yet, so, you know, that's a tough position to be in. Well, guys, I want to remind you we actually have two contests going on right now at xjtalk.com. One is for the distributor FireWire, performance distributor FireWire 4.0 kit. That one, you just need to do a call in a promo or call in a question to the 530 number that's listed at the top of the site, xjtalk.com. And the other contest we have going on is kind of a raffle. You pay $2, and if your name is selected, you'll get a pair of the brand new Detours light mounts, A-pillar light mounts that they just announced. And of course, it has the beautiful craftsmanship of all the Detours products. So, if you'd like to get a pair of A-pillar lights for $2. Check on the site, pay your $2, you'll get a chance to win a set. So until next week, this is Tony Motteroy on xjtalk.com saying thank you for being part of the show.
I just wanted to say XJ Talk is the best fucking site in the fucking world. And if you think you know of a better fucking site, fuck you. By the way, this is Big Jim 350. Bye.